broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
911, where's your emergency?
We're at Cafe 4211.
You know, they go, Ricky, please welcome Ricky Gervais.
And I was if we've come. Learned anything from this tragedy,
it's just hard when you're trying to do the right thing, you know.
Bastard from a basket!
This is serious.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go where other talk shows cannot go, wish they could, but cannot go. Only we, only I, only us. And, of course, our website is philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com for all your Phil Hendry needs. Go over there, get a live streaming video of our show, as well as live streaming audio of the show, as well as the... as well as everything, man, everything that you could possibly imagine, all of the archives, all of the news feeds, all of our podcasts, they're all there. And, of course, our shop where you can get our CDs soon, more merchandise and more information appearing there at our shop, our merchandise store on philhendryshow.com. So coming up this hour, Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard join me for our news hour. And a lot of things happening in the news. One of them, we like these lists, and we have one that I thought was highly relevant, and I think might even be appropriate to start our hour with. And that is, we're also going to, we've got more Ricky Gervais news. Do you want to hear that?
Yeah, I want to hear, did he say that could be on there?
We got more of that. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I wish they would have told that one joke.
Well, he's going to tell it. We've got audio of him telling the joke that got cut.
Yeah.
Then we're going to hear that. However, first up, seven American companies that will disappear in 2011. Seven American companies that will disappear in 2011. Now, they do not come in any particular order. We'll obviously read them in a certain order, but that not it won't be a certain order. I'll just read off the names of these companies, but it doesn't mean this is number one or this is number five. This is a website, 24/7 Wall Street, and they recently looked at a number of large American companies, some of which are actually owned by foreign companies. Then why are they called American companies if they're actually owned by foreign companies? Well, I guess they used to be American companies, huh?
Yeah, I think they were American, then they got bought, huh?
They're American companies that got bought by foreign companies, and maybe that's one of the reasons why they're no longer American companies. I don't know. The website looks at a variety of companies, those that are in deep trouble, the merger and acquisition targets, firms and industries that have too many competitors for any to become highly profitable, or corporations that Wall Street believes are worth more in parts than as a whole, meaning sell them off, you know? Or as Gordon Gekko said in Wall Street, why did you wreck the company, Gordon? Because it was wreckable.
Yeah, that was Michael Douglas. He got nominated for a Golden Globe, didn't win.
Yeah, that's right. He didn't win.
Right.
Okay. Why, did you do that to stick that in?
Yeah, why'd say that?
I'm just letting you know. I thought it was good.
I didn't see the new one, man. Did anybody see that? I didn't see that. I want to see it. The companies below were picked from this universe of companies that are wreckable, that are in deep trouble with merger and acquisition targets and so on and so forth. The companies below picked from this universe because odds are they are that they will not exist a year from now. These are the companies. Saab, USA, S-A-A-B. You know who Saab is, the auto manufacturer. They've tried to create a renaissance of sorts. The company was sold to Netherlands specialty car maker Spyker last year. Spyker took an awful risk, particularly in the U.S., because Saab is one of the few car firms that did recover when the U.S. car market expanded last year. The total number of cars and light vehicles sold in America in 2010 was up 11% to 11.6 million. Sales of some niche brands served. Porsche sales in the U.S. were up 29% to 29,000. Audi sales rose 22% to over 101,000. So Saab, in other words, was the overall company for all of these.
Even Porsche, huh?
Even Porsche. But Saab sales collapsed, falling 37% to 5,445. American car companies have also created new lines of vehicles that have begun to sell well, particularly in the middle market where Saab operates. The Japanese still control the lower price, high quality portion of the market, and Korea's Hyundai took share from nearly everyone last year as its sales rose 24%. So there's no room in the American market for a tiny operator like Saab. Saab USA will probably no longer be around, even though there's the brands that it handles. Porsche, Audi are very popular. So they'll be spun off, or however the hell they say it. And maybe that's an example of a company whose parts are worth more than its whole.
Yeah, I've got Porsche, man. Everybody want to get a Porsche.
Yeah, I mean, Porsche could stand on its own almost. Here's another company that will not exist in 2011. Are you ready? At the end of 2011. It will disappear this year. Office Depot. Now, again, we're not saying for sure, but this is the opinion of a number of individuals who responded to this 24/7 Wall Street poll. The company's running third in a three-horse race with Office Max and Staples. Office Depot also has to compete with small business centers and Sam's Clubs and Costco. The firm operates on razor-thin margins while managing 1,150 locations, which are very costly due to employee and real estate expenses. Office Depot is a strong candidate to be taken over by one of its rivals or a broader retail chain like Target.
Oh, you mean Target to take them over to have an office section?
That wouldn't be a bad idea. It wouldn't be a bad idea. Actually, no, it would be a bad idea. Just have Target for the crap that Target sells, and they can own Office Depot.
What are you talking about?
We were thinking maybe if Target expanded the actual physical space of their store and created an entire office. I wouldn't dig that. That would be too funky, you know?
Yeah, it'll be like you're going in there to buy a desk, and there's like candy, you know, like Coke syrup on the floor.
Yeah, that's how I, if you've got, you hit it right on the head. That's how I perceive places like Target. There's like candy wrappers everywhere. Get out of here. All right, the market is too competitive for Office Depot to stand on its own. A consolidation in the sector would allow a merged operation to cut thousands of people and close hundreds of locations. Operating margins then would not be so modest. So there we go again with the solution, and the solution is to consolidate. The bottom line, fatter, people are on the street, fewer stores. Every time there's a merger, remember that, ladies and gentlemen. And, of course, not every merger is a smart merger. You know, we have so many people that just think that business cannot do anything wrong and everything the government does is wrong. And that just doesn't make any sense. That just doesn't. First of all, history doesn't teach us that. History doesn't teach us that. There wouldn't be need for government regulation in some areas if business did everything right. Now, we've in our industry, I've given you example after example, and the prime example is the merger of Sirius with XM. The worst possible timing, the worst possible timing for that deal. The company's still in the hole. They put a bunch of people on the street. They're not making any money. They're not even paying half of their people. I mean, it's a disaster. So this idea of merging companies, it might have worked out had there been a little bit more forethought by the people that managed that merger and said, geez, you know, this economy looks pretty shaky. As a matter of fact, in about 2 months, the whole thing's going to go down the crapper. I don't think that was unforeseeable. Number three, Dean Foods. Is this Jimmy Dean? Is that what they're talking about?
I think I like Jimmy Dean's, you know, pork.
I don't know. The maker of dairy products like Land O'Lakes and Silk. Oh, the soy milk.
Yeah, you drink that.
I do. Has struggled as much as any other large public company this year. The cost of raw milk, butter fat, soybeans, and sugar have risen sharply. Dean Foods has also been crippled by debt. The firm's shares were down as much as 60% at one point during the last 12 months. Despite all the bad news, hedge fund investors David Tepper bought a 7.3% stake in the company. Dean Foods shares rose 9% after the announcement. Dean has already sold its yogurt business to Schreiber Foods, and Tepper, who is one of the cleverest investors on Wall Street, has probably bet the balance of Dean Foods will be sold off in parts. Watch for Dean to be broken up to satisfy debt holders and large investors. Oh, isn't that great? Number four, not number four, but another company that may not be around by the end of 2011 is Frontier Airlines. The carrier is owned by Republic Airways Holdings and was bankrupt when Republic bought it in 2009. Republic recently merged another of its holdings, Midwest Air, into Frontier. Denver-based Frontier is simply too small to compete in the domestic carrier market, which has become increasingly dominated by large airlines that are growing due to mergers. So Wall Street has also become increasingly worried about Republic's future. Its shares are down 13%. While shares in rival JetBlue are up 9% during the same time frame. Frontier's Milwaukee hub, which serves the east of the Midwest, and its Denver hub, which serves the west, the south and Mexico, would be valuable to a larger carrier. So, Frontier Airline. Anybody ever fly Frontier Airline?
I didn't.
I've never flown Frontier Airline. I didn't even think Frontier Airline. I'd heard of Frontier Airline. I didn't even know that they were around anymore. What an unfortunate name for an airline, too. Frontier, man. Sounds like they got nothing but covered wagons instead of airplanes. Number five, here's one that's going to really break your heart, Robert. Sara Lee.
No kidding.
Yep. Sara Lee's done, man. By the end of 2012, Sara Lee will be no more. You know, the coffee cake? Well, they also make ballpark hot dogs, and Jimmy Dean Breakfast Foods is already being circled by corporations and similar businesses and by private equity firms, groups interested in breaking Sara Lee up. So Sara Lee owns Jimmy Dean, huh?
So Jimmy Dean, he made off like a bandit. He sold his wiener company.
Boy, man, you could make any simple sentence sound obscene.
Yeah, I know. But I say, wiener. Well, I didn't mean to do it.
Well, you're all like, so Jimmy Dean, he sold off his wiener company. You mean his sausage company?
Well, yeah, but did he make wieners, too?
I don't know if he made wieners. You mean hot dogs? Anyway, so media reports say Sara Lee's in the midst of a plan to separate its coffee and meat businesses. Anyway, if that happens, I'll bet they are. Anyway, if that happens, the new companies may be named Hillshire Farm and Pickwick Tea. Who cares? I never liked Sara Lee anyway. I don't like the idea of someone telling me it's an old lady making coffee cake, and I turn around and it's some big steaming mill on the outskirts of Akron. Nothing wrong with Akron, but it's just, tell me, you know, Akron Meats. Who makes this delicious coffee cake? A company called Youngstown Pork Slaughter. Now, do you want to have some? Sure. Oh, so you just want the honesty. Yeah, that's all I'm asking for. Youngstown Pork Slaughter Coffee Cake. Yeah, it's fine with me. Just be perfectly honest.
I wouldn't eat it, man, if that's what it's called. Why would you want to do that?
What difference does it make, man? What do you think, they're making a coffee cake in the same place where they're slaughtering pork?
They may be.
Oh, get out of here. You guys get sold on this stuff. I don't like it. Who was the other one?
What do you mean the other one?
Who's the old, was that a Mrs. Culberson or something? They always got some woman, and you always put your faith in the woman. You think she exists. You think she's cool, and she doesn't exist at all. It's just some guy in an apron with a big meat mallet. And he's standing out there in a swirling snow in Youngstown, Ohio, and it's called Youngstown Pork Death. And by the way, have our coffee cake. All right, anyway, Borders. The large bookstore chain is almost gone. So Borders, as you know, is, maybe you didn't know, but Borders was always one of the weaker of the national book chains, and they are almost gone entirely. The only question remaining is whether it will be dissolved or sold to Barnes & Noble. It appears Borders has little choice other than to go bankrupt, given its debt and cash flow situation. Two ominous signs for the bookseller. It says it's unable to pay some of its largest publishers for their books. Borders stock has dropped under $1 a share, a warning sign that the shares could eventually be delisted. That is, if Borders lasts long enough. The company's 500 locations may have value to a buyer, but its name does not, being associated with little more than failure. And the very first super bookstore that I ever went into that sold coffee was Borders down in Miami.
Did you like it?
I thought it was the greatest thing I'd ever seen. It was the very first big bookstore with the coffee and all of the stuff. And that's where we had our signings, WIOD. We had our CD signings. And I thought Borders was fantastic. They became my favorite bookstore to go to, and I had no idea they were so badly run because they really had my business for a long time. We've got a couple more, but we also have some other news that we want to get to here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, so we'll do that. We'll take a break. Ricky Gervais has said he's not going to host the Golden Globes because he's sick and tired of all these sissies and these crybabies that we got out here with the, you know, you're really mean to us and everything. And a man who counsels troubled teens by doing something that causes the teens to call 911. Are you ready for that? He counsels troubled teens, and they turn around and call 911. Let's find out what it is when we come back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL and our website, philhendryshow.com. And we were just talking. I was talking to Rance, you know. It's hard. We're looking at these companies that are not going to be around by the year 2011, by the end of the year 2011, the year that we're in right now. We have one more company we didn't mention, and that's Gateway. And I was saying to him, you remember Gateway Computers? That was about 13, 14 years ago. And I dare say that's one of the reasons, Gateway is one of the reasons why there are a lot of people with computers. They made it very easy to buy a computer. They said, here, just buy it here. We send you the monitor, this, that, buy our Gateway, boom. And then they had the little stores. But what Gateway didn't do is they did not stay ahead of the curve in terms of equipment, in terms of the actual hardware. There were other computers that were better, Dell, Hewlett-Packard. And they were bought by a Taiwan company, PC giant Acer, in 2007. But they're number three in the world behind Dell and Hewlett-Packard. The buyout was not unlike the one that China-based Lenovo made of the IBM PC division. Lenovo found the IBM brand was useful for marketing in the United States, but dropped the name in favor of its own. Lenovo saw no reason to support two brands any longer and wanted to be recognized by its corporate name in the U.S. market. So IBM, the long-standing Big Blue, the big name in American business machines, business equipment and computers, IBM, as far as the PC division goes, no more. And now Gateway going away. Acer, meanwhile, has become an established brand in the U.S. over the last 2 years, particularly for its netbooks and notebooks, while the Gateway brand has faded. Gateway is still a standalone corporation, but will likely disappear this year. And we were talking about, you know, what does it take? You always have to be thinking about what it is you have to do. What is being promoted by your competitors? What's being promoted technologically? Do you want to do that? Do you need to do that? Like in the website business, is it necessary to get a whole, to get a, an app? Like my website, philhenryshow.com, people ask me this all the time. Why don't you have an app? I'll tell you why. Number one, they change all the time. I have to have an app for this phone, have an app for that phone. Our goal is to make our website mobile. No matter what device you have, you go to our website and you have a mobile website. That's the goal, and that's what we plan on doing. And you got to think about these things. So I don't know what I'm talking about this or anything.
Yeah, what are you talking about? Like you're some kind of a big operator or something?
No, I don't think I'm a big operator. I'm just telling people what we do.
Yeah, we'll get to another story.
Oh, shut up. These guys probably don't think I pay them enough, which I don't. All right, so we got the kookiest thing going here, man, with this story. Attorney accused of indecency while counseling troubled teens at a Christian outreach center. Claimed that exposing himself was part of a mentoring program. Are you ready for that? That's exactly right. In Norton, Ohio, a Norton attorney who founded a coffee house that caters to troubled teens faces charges that he exposed himself to two 19-year-old men last Friday. The cafe bills itself as a Christian outreach center for at-risk teens. Norton police say they were called to Cafe 4111 near Norton High School after the two men called dispatchers to complain that Thomas Walkley took off his pants while counseling them. And we have the 911 calls to prove it. 19-year-old Xavier Zwornowski called 911 to report what happened at the Christian Outreach Center coffee house.
911, where's your emergency?
We're at Cafe 4111, and we walked in to get community service, and this guy came down and asked us, he's like, we went upstairs with him, and we were talking about it, and then he just pulled his pants down in front of us, and I don't know what to do, so I called the cop. He's standing right here by the car with us. I don't know what's going on.
Okay, the operator tries to figure out exactly what happened.
And he pulled his pants down?
Yeah, we were upstairs in his, like, office thing, and he's pulled his pants out in front of us.
Okay. Where is he now?
He's right next to me. Do you want to talk to him? I don't know what to do.
Okay, yeah.
All right, now Thomas Walkley talks to the operator, a bizarre conversation in which he admits to pulling down his pants.
Hi, this is Attorney Tom Walkley. Who am I speaking with?
This is dispatch. What exactly is going on?
Oh, we have a couple guys here. They're coming over for community service. Is this in Norton?
Yeah.
Who is this?
This is Kristen.
Hi, Kristen. How are you doing today?
Good.
Do you have anybody that can come over?
Well, yeah, but I'm just trying to figure out what's going on.
Oh, it's just there's nothing going on. They came over for community service. And I was explaining to them what the program is and so forth.
So nobody pulled their pants down?
I didn't say that. But these guys are over the age of 18, and they were being. We have a something going on with our part of our program, and if you want to send one of the officers over, we can talk to them about what that is.
Uh huh. Well, anyway, Norton police say they were called to Cafe 4111 near Norton High School. Walkley said Monday that exposing himself, quote, is part of a mentoring program he's developed to help in his work to assist at-risk boys. He called educational, and not sexual. Walkley described his role at Cafe 4111 as that of a father figure and mentor. He said he has used exposure in mentoring sessions in the past. Radical times call for radical measures. We're not afraid to do what it takes, even pulling our underwear down. Thank you. We'll be back here in a world-famous Phil Henry show. You know, there's an old saying, don't bullcrap a bullcrapper there, Attorney Walkley. We'll be back.
Phil Henry. To the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back tonight here on the Phil Henry Show. We got Bud and Robert and another whack night tonight. How'd you like Dave Oliva, huh?
I don't know about Dave Oliva. He sounded like he's dedicated and everything, but then he's saying he's going to... I don't know.
Well, Dave thinks that tasering everybody in sight...
Well, he's talking about those big Samoans.
Yeah, he thinks tasering everybody in sight is the way to do it. And, of course, we had in our first hour, who was that, Dr. Leo Rittenour, the guy that enjoys taking teeth out of people's heads and really likes doing it. It just so happens it's legal now because of the stem cell research. That guy needs help.
I don't know. You know, it's funny. I want to know what he's done. Maybe do some work for me.
You want him as your dentist?
Why would you want him?
He just sounds like he's probably works cheap.
Yeah, I'll bet he works cheap, man. I'll bet he works real cheap. If he could talk you into taking all of your teeth out of your head, I bet you he'd work for free.
Well, I don't want to lose all of them.
Well, you know, beggars can't be choosers. So getting back to this lawyer, and then we're going to be talking here at some length about Ricky Gervais. Not a long thing, but the story doesn't go away. He has now said he's not going to do the show again, and this story about how conservatives are rallying to his cause is a little confusing. I'm not sure it's conservative so much. It's just maybe it's some of them are conservatives. I think what it is there's just people who like a refreshing take on Hollywood, and that's about as in-your-face as you can get, man. If you're standing there as the host of an award show, and you're giving out awards, and you say, but you know him better from L.A. County Jail and the Betty Ford Clinic, here's Robert Downey Jr., I mean, first of all, it's honest. It may not be appropriate, but then at this particular point, what's appropriate when you hire the guy to host your show? All right, now... Finishing up here, the attorney that was used to, and I have to tell the studio back in Medford, I've got a echo in my ears that has got to get fixed. Man, I'm sorry, but it's happening in the cans, and it's been happening all night. You have this attorney who was apparently, this guy has got some mentoring program, and he tells the kids, come on upstairs, I want to talk to you. All they want to do is... get a job. And they sit down and they talk for a while, and the next thing you know, he takes his pants off. And he says that all he's doing is engaging in a kind of educational process where you have to sort of think differently and this and that. And anyway, he got arrested and he pled not guilty, and he was arrested, by the way, for indecent exposure, not for sexual harassment. And some guys, I guess they figure... You know, you can sell anything to anybody if you got just you give them enough time to bullcrap you enough. But that's about as big a story as I've ever heard in my life. Well, you know, boys, now I'm going to do something that I... Well, what are you going to do? I'm just going to do something, and I'm hoping that this will help you understand. I want to shake your thinking up. You guys want to do that with me? Just shake your thinking up? Well, sure, sir. Okay, all right. No, just trust me. Go with me on this. Go with me on this. He stands up and pulls his pants down.
That's very heavy.
Heavy?
What's heavy about it, man?
I'd like to just try something different. And he strips off his pants? So what's different about that? Freaking weird ass. So anyway, he got arrested and he pled not guilty. I just think it's just one more chapter in the many... many, many ways that some weirdos operate in this world. All right, getting back to Ricky Gervais, the British comedian is the new darling of political conservatives thanks to the fusillade of insults he directed at the aghast celebrities attending this weekend's Golden Globe Awards. Now, they were very funny. We played some of them for you. And they were fantastic. You know, the whole thing with what's-his-ass Robert Downey Jr. and the Tim Allen line. I mean, it was funny stuff. And I know that it was probably considered to be insulting by some of the people there. But here's the thing about this Ricky Gervais situation. This guy, Philip Burke, is the president of the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, said the following thing. He said the comments were totally unacceptable. He said, it's not the kind of thing that we like, but that's Ricky, he said. That's Ricky. That's why we hired him. So in other words, if you say that what you just did there was completely unacceptable, but that is you, and that's why we hired you, you're not saying anything at all. You're just making noise. In other words, there's a thing called sense, and then there's a thing called nonsense, and you've just engaged in the latter. So if they ask you for a comment, and you give them a comment saying that he was merciless, he was in bad form, it was totally unacceptable, and so on and so forth, but then you say, that's Ricky, that's what you expect from a guy like that, then you haven't said anything other than you hired him to do exactly what he did, and now you find out the reaction is not all that positive from some, not all, but some of the people, and now you're backpedaling. Now, you think that the guy stiffed. He didn't. It was fantastic. You had more people watching that show than ever before. And I'll tell you something right now. I wouldn't have watched it had it not been for him. I couldn't give a damn about the Golden Globes, man. It might as well be the Blue Ribbon Awards at the L.A. County Fair, for all I care. They could be sticking a blue ribbon on the prize-winning sow. But if Ricky Gervais was hosting it...
You'd watch that?
I would. I'd watch it, yes. In fact, if I were the people running the L.A. County Fair next year when you're giving out that blue ribbon to the guinea pig, have Ricky do it.
Yeah, right.
Well... In any event, the right-leaning Daily Mail in London said that bravo, Ricky, a risque act on self-loving Tinseltown. It was a beautiful thing. Hollywood and its power brokers hate a rebel. It's a place of groupthink, and it's almost terminal political correctness. So he earned himself a cult following among a great many people, whether they're conservatives or not. I think that's a chicken way of saying it. Conservative, just a lot of people that ordinarily wouldn't be watching an award show, or maybe people, whether they're liberal or conservative, who think it's funny to hear some people have the air let out of them a little bit. Big wow. In any event, after all of that was said and done, he said that he is not interested in hosting the Golden Globes ever again, as long as, no, he didn't say ever again, but he said he's not interested in doing it again next year. A TMZ paparazzi caught up with Gervais in New York City, asking him if he'll be invited back to host the Golden Globes.
Well, it doesn't really matter. I'm not going to do it again anyway. I said I wouldn't do it a second time, but... I think twice to now.
Did you enjoy yourself?
I loved it more than last year, actually.
And all the other comedians seem to have thought it was absolutely hilarious. It only seems that the kind of stars who got poked fun, I don't see that.
Well, it's nice to be loved by your peers. Stick by you.
If you thought Gervais was inappropriate Sunday night, you'll be glad that he cut out one particular joke from his monologue. On Conan last night, last week, Gervais explained a bit he wasn't allowed to do during the awards ceremony.
The opening, you know, they go, Ricky, please welcome Ricky Gervais. And I was going to come out dressed as Adolf Hitler, uh-huh. Right? No, wait, right? And I was going to go out, I was just doing that, waving to them, right? And then get to the podium and let it die down and go, too much, right? And then I wanted to look in the crowd and go, it's the wrong crowd, it's just the wrong crowd. And then I was going to say, that's the last time I borrow a suit from Mel Gibson.
All right, so once she heard Ricky Gervais' scathing jokes at the Golden Globes, Jennifer Lopez confronted him before she went on as a presenter. She talked to Access Hollywood Live with Billy Bush and Kit Hoover, whatever, but here is what she said.
Then when I go backstage to present, I'm backstage with Alec, we're about to walk out, and Ricky shows up, and I said, listen... I will kill you. Do you understand? I am from New York. My husband fights. We fight. We both fight. We will beat you up after the show with a couple of, you know, bleep bleeps in there.
And he took
the
warning.
He was kind to you. He's like, oh, don't worry. It's going to be fine.
He took a light shot at you, right?
He did. He's like, it's funny, it's funny. I said, let me see your card.
I swear,
I mean it, Ricky. I'm not playing with you. And he's like, oh, you're going to love it. It was funny.
He said it's Jenny on the block if the block is Rodeo Drive. I think it was something like that. Anyway, Lopez is asked if Gervais went too far with some of his jokes.
No.
You're okay,
no. You know, look, I've been the butt of jokes. Literally for so long, you know, it's kind of like when you're out there.
Your butt's been a joke.
You gotta kind of expect that. You know, everybody doesn't get to be, you know, kind of untouched always. You know, they're gonna poke fun at you. It is what it is. You know, we like to keep it above the belt. He may have hit one or two below the belt.
Anyway, he was funnier than hell, and that's where that's at. And I hate to think that the guy is leaving. Thinking that people didn't enjoy it, because they did. And I think he got, you're in that bubble and people are telling you, you suck, you suck, you suck, you suck. Why? Because Robert Downey Jr. didn't like you. I hope somebody told him, no, people dug it. You know, like I said, I wouldn't have watched it. What'd you guys think?
Yeah, I thought it was funny as hell, man. I wish I would have heard that Hitler joke.
Yeah, how come he didn't do that?
The Hitler joke? Are you kidding?
Yeah.
No way. No way.
Why not?
Because that's the, it's, no way. No. Hitler? Mel Gibson? No. No. All right, your cell phone could mess with a plane. Did you know this? If you're flying back to London or New York or wherever the hell it is you're going after you went to the Golden Globes and got your ass kicked by Ricky Gervais, and then you pull out your cell phone. Let's say you're Arianna Huffington, and you're sitting there, and you've got so many important people to call, and you've got such an important life to live, and you're going to dial around, and you're going to be a pain in the ass to a million people, and you're sitting on an airplane. And one of the people looks at you and says, didn't you hear what the flight attendant said? She said to turn off your cell phone. And you go, no, I don't do that for anyone. You know, and you lay some of that stuff on him. And the next thing you know, you're in a free-swinging fist fight there in first class. Because guess what? Your cell phone could mess with the electronics of the aircraft. And at least one incident that we're going to tell you about here, they believe it had the possibility that it did something to the electronics of the aircraft. It was actually the pilot that had his cell phone on when all of a sudden a plane that was landing in New Zealand in 2003, 8 people died. The plane flew into the ground short of the runway because the pilot had called home. The call remained connected for the last 3 minutes of the flight. And in the final report, the New Zealand Transport Accident Investigation Commission noted, the pilot's own cell phone might have caused erroneous indications on a navigational aid. Now, is it likely? Probably not. Does it happen? They don't know. Can it? Absolutely, yes, it can. It's a good news, bad news thing. It's bad, says David Carson, an engineer with Boeing, if people assume it can never happen. Many of these devices, your cell phone, your little GPS unit, your tablet, your whatever you got, many of these devices transmit a signal, and all of them emit electromagnetic waves, which in theory can interfere with the plane's electronics. At the same time, older planes may not have the best shielding against the latest generation of these devices, according to some engineers. Is it worrisome, said Bill Strauss, who's an engineer studying passenger use of electronic devices? It is. Now, since 2000, there have been at least 10 voluntary reports filed by pilots in the United States with the Aviation Safety Reporting System administered by NASA. In 2007, one pilot recounted an instance when the navigational equipment on his Boeing 737 had failed after takeoff. A flight attendant told a passenger to turn off a handheld GPS device, and the problem on the flight deck went away.
Wow. So that, what if they crashed?
I don't know if they were going to crash. It says here that his navigational equipment, he had a problem with it right after takeoff. Now, I don't know how critical it is after takeoff. I guess it is critical. If you've got, after takeoff, you've got different...
There's a lot of airplanes that are taking off right along with you.
Yeah, so there's different... There's traffic, as they say in the business. The Federal Aviation Administration says there are risks associated with electromagnetic interference and prohibits the use of electronics below 10,000 feet, as you well know. That's why they tell you, please turn off your electronic devices, because we're beginning our initial descent into Busted Whistle, Arkansas International Airport. So please turn that crap off. It is up to each airline to set policy at higher altitudes. as to when you can turn it on. There's not enough evidence to warrant a change. However, there are many reasons that passengers do not comply with restrictions. Devices blur the distinction. PDAs that are cell phones that play music. In the mind of the nominal consumer, it is hard to know what devices are actually doing something that can affect the electronics of the plane. But let's just make this perfectly clear. If it's something that is giving you access to the outside world, like the internet, like a telephone conversation, it's probably something you ought to turn off.
Yeah, but a lot of people get confused.
A lot of people are, you know, I'm really, pardon me for being cynical, a lot of people are just dumb. You know, I'm sorry. The dumbest asses, man. Some people, if they just use your common damn sense. All right. Some passengers are like Nicole Rodriguez of Los Angeles, who acknowledges she listens to music on her cell phone when she's not supposed to. In my head, I imagine it's not being a problem. The whole airplane is filled with electronics that are constantly on. Is my little cell phone going to make that big of a difference? She said, as the plane plummeted nose first into the ocean, exploding into a ball of fire that could be seen 6 miles off. No. Even flight attendants charged with enforcing the rules can fail to recognize the potential for problems. Dinkar Mokandam, who is the occupational safety specialist with the blah, blah, blah something. I don't believe it is general knowledge that someone could plug in an iPod and potentially harm the aircraft, even among the flight attendants and pilot community, said Mr. Mokandam. But it can happen. All right. Do you want to go from a man to a woman? Well, the city of Berkeley is your place. You can get a job with the city. They'll pay for it. That's right. It's part of city insurance. We'll talk about that when we come back and more here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry.
Hey, right after the show, go to our website and check out our show log, and we'll tell you exactly if you missed what went on the show. It's there. And then download the show tomorrow. It's a podcast. You can download it at iTunes or directly from our website with your backstage pass. So you got the show log right there. You got the show that's downloading into your iPod, and you're all set to go. And, of course, our video cast is on demand for 5 days. As well as Saturday, so our local Los Angeles video cast on KFI, which is not nationally broadcast, but you can take a look at our video cast from our Saturday night show as well there on our website. Robert, I called you Bob. Do you mind?
Well, it's kind of a white thing.
It is very white, but anyway, Robert asked me, when we were flying to the Caribbean last spring, how did I get all those pictures up on the website? We did that by way of their internet provider on Delta Airlines, okay?
Yeah, you did that when they said it was okay.
Yeah, yeah. Robert's not asking me, you know.
No, I'm not asking that you do it again. I just wondered how you did that.
They have a little internet provider. They got a wireless service up there that you pay for. So I had to get my little credit card out. But once we got on the wireless connection, then if you're on our website, I don't know how far back you have to go. You got to go back to May. You'll see photographs that we sent from the aircraft, you know?
Yeah, I remember when you did that one. There's a picture of you having a drink and everything.
Yeah, there's a picture of me having a drink. I think I took a picture of the in-flight movie that we were watching. And it was right in the middle of the night, I'll never forget, as we were winging our way across the country. So we really kept everybody updated on the website as to where we were. And then when we got to Barbados, we continued to send pictures. I mean, it's just amazing, man. We updated the website from St. Vincent and the Grenadines using an iPhone. And then using a little flip cam, we sent video every day back to our website of what we were doing. So we had a subscription-based video that people would see as we were just walking around the Grenadines, sailing, you know, hanging out in the restaurant, going over to Union Island, all kinds of stuff. So it was a lot of fun. It's amazing what you can do in the air so long as the pilot says it's okay to use the equipment.
Exactly.
All right. Finally, as a perfect segue from that, would you like to have a sex change operation? Well, sure you would. While other cities are slashing employee benefits, if you'll pardon the term slash, Berkeley is slated to add more, paying for sex change operations. The city council is poised to vote this week to set aside $20,000 annually for city workers' gender reassignment surgery. Well, $20,000, that ain't going to buy you a lip lift, man.
What are you talking about?
$20,000, what is that? Anyway, the procedure is not covered by the city's two health insurance providers, Kaiser and Health Net. We offer all kinds of benefits to our employees. This brings our benefits in line with what's just and fair for the transgender community, said City Councilman Daryl Moore, who originally proposed the idea in 2007 when he himself considered becoming a chick and then changed his mind when he realized that there wasn't enough money in the fund, and he sure as hell wasn't going to spring for it. The benefit would allow employees to collect the money before the operation. To receive the payout, employees would have to have lived as the opposite sex for at least 1 year and undergone hormone therapy and a whole bunch of jazz like that. So what makes you guys in Berkeley think that someone that you're hiring tomorrow to become, say, your new city engineer didn't just sign on to get the sex change operation, and as soon as he, she, it got it, they are gone with the wind, man?
Yeah, I would do that.
Gone. Where are you going? Oh, I quit, man. I quit. I'm going back to L.A. Kidding. World-famous Phil Henry Show produced by Jason Rantz. Our technical director is Rick Johnson, and our technical and associate producer, Dan Northcraft. Great job, all of you guys. Great, great job. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. PhilHenryShow.com.
Phil Henry.